Matthew chapter 6 verse 7 says we should not pray in vain repetition. Yet Catholics pray the rosary over and over again. Clearly that goes against the Bible, right? Stick around. Let's talk about it.
Houston, we have a problem.
Habemos Papam.
Podcasting from a parking lot in The Woodlands, Texas, it's The Catholic Hack with Joe McClain.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope.
Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven.
The Church of the Living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15.
Do this in memory of me.
Hi, I'm Father Jay Finelli from the iPadre Catholic Podcast. Shortly, I'll be at my 100th episode and would like to invite you to take part in our 100th show giveaway. You'll have a chance to win a brand new iPod Nano and some other great things. So head over to iPadre.net, subscribe to the show, and listen in for the details. The iPadre Catholic Podcast. All things Catholic, and then some.
Welcome back to The Catholic Hack. I'm Joe McClain. This is episode number 25, and today I had planned for you a very special podcast, an interview with apologist and radio host John Martinoni, but it didn't work out. Unfortunately for me, and I guess for you, I had recorded an hour and a half. It was a fantastic conversation. I was just really enjoying myself, and the interview was cut short, and the file was lost, and it'll never be heard again. So that was a bummer. I was really pretty depressed over that. So, you know, I pleaded with John, and he's a great man, a very gracious man, so he agreed to give me another hour of his time, but we had to push that into December, because obviously with holiday schedules and so forth and so on, I wasn't able to do it that quickly. However, I do have 7 minutes. It's a fragment of that conversation. It's the last 7 minutes of the interview that I will play for you, just as a teaser for hopefully what will be yet another good conversation with apologist John Martinoni. So I'll play that here in a minute. I hope you're all doing very well. Again, I want to thank you all for the great support that I have received from you. I mean, thanks to your hard work and thanks to your support in iTunes in particular, the Catholic Hack has been featured not only in the general Christian podcast directory, but I've also made the top 100 Christian podcast list for a couple of days, at least in a row. And I feel like that's an honor. I mean, out of the many, many, many podcasts that are out there, to make that list, I really feel honored to have done that. So thank you all very much. If you haven't already, I would strongly encourage you to please go by iTunes and leave me a review on the iTunes store. You can go to search and type, choose podcast, and then in the search field, just type in Catholic or Catholic Hack, and then when you pull up my podcast, you can leave a review there. That really does help us to increase our standing in the iTunes store. So thank you all very, very much. I hope you enjoyed the interview that I put out as a special podcast. That was an interview that I was being interviewed on a Catholic radio station up in Pennsylvania with the Kingsmen. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And a gentleman actually heard that that interview and then sent me an email telling me that he liked the interview and was wanting, you know, some more information about some of the resources that have helped me in my journey. And I was very touched by that. That was a real blessing to have someone reach out like that. You know, because personally speaking, I have struggled, you know, with sexual temptation, and I know what that's like, and it can consume you, and it's a downward, you know, vortex. It really does, you know, can disintegrate your very soul. So it's a struggle that has to be fought daily, actually moment by moment. So if you're a man and you're struggling in this, I want to encourage you to, one, to get on your knees and give it all over to the Lord and let Him take this burden on. Because Jesus Christ truly did come to set you free from that. And you are a slave in that. And you can give it all over to Him and He can set you free. But don't forget to ask for the intercession of our Blessed Mother. She is so ready to help you. She is so right there and just cannot wait to intercede on your behalf to her Son. Ask her specifically to whisper your name into the ear of her Son. How powerful that is. And as the Epistle of James tells us, the prayer of a righteous man or a woman availeth much. It's the prayer of the righteous person that availeth much. And who more righteous than our Blessed Lady? All right. So I hope you enjoyed that. I'd love to hear back more comments from you on that regard. Also coming up, as I've announced previously, the series from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. I will start recording the first episode for that probably the week after Thanksgiving. I've looked at the three courses that they have up there. I'm going to start with the Salvation History track and course one. Okay, so if you want to get ready and actually start reading the first lesson, then that's what you want to do. You want to go to salvationhistory.com, and under courses, you'll see they have the three courses. It's Salvation History track, there's Apologetics Foundations track, and then there's the Biblical Theology track. All are fantastic. You know, and don't wait for me. Do whatever. Do any one of these three. They are just really, really good. But I'm going to start with a Salvation History track, and I'm going to go lesson by lesson. And I want to encourage you to follow along. Send your feedback. You know, let's make this a discussion on this material. It is so good that I just can't wait to share it with you. I also have to ask you to go ahead and register with the St. Paul Center. So if you could start to do that now, that would be very helpful. And if there's any way for you to send them, when you're registering, a comment, tell them the Catholic Hack sent you. I would be very grateful about that. So that's a pretty exciting Bible study series that I'll do, and I'll start to record that in another week or so. Also, next week I'll be recording the first in my series on the Rosary. And for that, I have a very special guest for you. It's Greg and Jennifer Willits from the Rosary Army. They have agreed to allow me to take an hour or so of their time, and we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about the Rosary. Where did it come from? What are the prayers? You know, the mechanics of the Rosary, some of the spiritual side of the Rosary, and then. So I think that should be a great conversation. I think you'll enjoy that, and then from there we'll take off and we'll actually dive into the mysteries and all that makes up this Rosary. And hopefully by the time we get to the end, I think you'll come to a new understanding. At least that's my hope. That's my wish. And you'll actually long to pray that Rosary, because in essence, you're not just praying repetitive prayer, which is our topic for today, but you're going to actually pray the gospel. You're going to pray the gospel. That is powerful. It has got to be powerful. And that's what I want to get into. So, we have a lot of stuff coming up. We have a lot of new material. I've actually got some exciting interviews, I hope, that are coming your way. Mike Aquilina, Jim Burnham, Tarek Saab coming this weekend. So, very, very exciting stuff. Thanksgiving is coming up this week. I pray that each one of you is going to have a very blessed Thanksgiving. And, you know, I was very tempted to give you a homework assignment. A couple of years ago, before the Thanksgiving meal, I gave not a talk or anything like that, but I in front of my family, I gave them this idea from the Old Testament of the Todah, which is a Thanksgiving offering. This is Old Testament, you know, this Old Testament tradition of giving thanks to the Lord. So I'm not going to get into it, but I would encourage you, go and look up the Todah, you know, offering, and read about that. I think you'll be very blessed by that. I think you'll enjoy that, and I'd love to hear about that. So, I tell you what, anybody who goes and looks up the Todah offering, or the anything about the Todah from the Old Testament, and sends me some feedback on that, I'll send you a free Catholic Hack t-shirt. So I would be very blessed if you would do that, so please do. And if you haven't picked up your Catholic Hack t-shirt, let me encourage you to do that. The Catholic Hack t-shirts are available. You can get to a link off of my blog, www.catholichack.com. And by purchasing that t-shirt, you are not only supporting this podcast, but you're supporting all Catholic podcasting. Because I can't tell you, the other day I was wearing my Catholic Rockers t-shirt at my dentist office, and I had to have a root canal done. And my dentist, you know, he looked at that shirt and, what is that? That was a unique opportunity for me to tell him, you know, about Catholic podcasting and about all the many great Catholic podcasts that are out there. So that's what the beauty of wearing this shirt will do. Not only do you support this podcast in particular, but you get to share Catholic podcasting with somebody who probably has never heard of it. And these people might even be the type of individuals who are confused maybe about Catholic teaching or Catholic theology. And they could go to one of these Catholic podcasts like the Rosary Army or The Catholic Hack, or Tupelo Catholic, or Catholic Vocations Podcast, or you know, iPadre, or any one of these many really great Catholic podcasts, and they might be able to hear something that they had never heard. Their misconceptions could be blown away, and you never know, they could be sitting next to you at Mass the very next week. So what a blessing it is if you could just pick up one of these t-shirts, and this could be your very small way for you to help evangelize and to share the good news and to support Catholic podcasting. But also, beyond that, your money goes to directly support a Catholic-owned business, a family-owned business. What a great way to support Catholics trying to live out the gospel. So please do stop by thecatholichack.com. Go to the link for the t-shirts. On the right-hand side, you can see that link. And go to the store and pick up a Catholic t-shirt today. I do appreciate that. So what I'm going to do for you now is I'm going to actually play the last 7 minutes of the John Martinoni interview. It's the only 7 minutes that exist. I'm very, very sorry. This is what you get when you deal with a hack like me. So I hope you enjoy this. This will be a teaser for the full interview that I hope to do in December. I think it's around the December 11th that I'll actually get to re-record this interview. And this should tease you until then. And then after that, I want to dive deep. I want to get into the truth about vain repetition. So let's roll the John Martinoni interview, and then we'll roll up our sleeves, and then we'll dive deep.
Hello, listeners. My name is Mark, and I've got a question for you. Have you ever wondered what it would be like if God called you to a religious vocation and you followed it? I mean, that's crazy, right? All the sacrifices and, well, I don't know if it's got so much to do with insanity as it does with faith and love. Join me each week as I talk to somebody who's followed just such a religious vocation. We'll find out what it's like to live that life. You can find the podcast at www.vocationscast.com or do a search in iTunes for Vocations. It'll pop up in the top five. Thanks and God bless. And in the meantime, I just ask you to listen to that little voice inside of your heart telling you what God wants you to do, because that is your vocation.
Well, at the Bible Christian Society website, it's BibleChristianSociety.com, all one word, BibleChristianSociety.com. We've got our main resource is 20 different talks that we have, apologetics talks, on cassette tape, CD, or MP3 download if you're into the iPod and all that kind of thing. And they're basically 19 of my talks. One of my pastor, his conversion story, as I mentioned earlier, Baptist minister becomes Catholic priest. My talks cover most of the topics that the average Catholic will get from the average non-Catholic in terms of the questions you'll get about the faith. There's one talk called Mary in the Bible, one called the Sacraments in the Bible, covers baptism, confession, and the Eucharist, and where they are in the Bible, how you can explain them from the Bible. I mean, where they are exactly in the Bible as the Catholic Church teaches it. Apostolic authority in the Pope. I've got one called Apologetics for the Scripturally Challenged. That's basically an apologetic strategies talk. Teaches you how to go about doing these things, even if you don't have the Bible memorized. Another talk, which came first, the Church or the Bible? Talks on the rapture, on sola scriptura, sola fide, salvation by faith alone. The main topics that Protestants quiz Catholics about. And they're right there. And they're all free. Again, cassette tape, CD, MP3 download. Then I've got my newsletter. I've got 68 issues of the newsletter now. It's a weekly. It goes out almost every week. Probably I get 43-45 issues out in a year. And it covers my actual correspondence with Protestants. Or sometimes in the last couple ones with an atheist, Protestant ministers, Baptist, Evangelical, Church of God, Protestant laity from across the spectrum. So get that, sign up for it if you want to get it in your inbox every week. If not, the issues are all archived right there on the website. You can read them. Sometimes it's just Catholics writing in with some questions, and I answer the questions, two or three questions in a newsletter. So I've got I've got a talk called 2 Minute Apologetics that has 19 different question and answer, short question, short answer, various topics. Are you saved? Why do you Catholics call your priest father? Things like that. And the script for those is also on the website. If you want something short and simple to give to somebody, go to the 2 Minute Apologetics page on the website. So a lot of free resources at BibleChristianSociety.com.
Fantastic. I've actually used your resources. Like I said in the outset of this interview, we've given your talks out to many people, and they've always loved them. It's always helped to enrich their faith. And your 2 Minute Apologetics are a very good resource. We've used those just recently with our JW friend who visits the house. And I use them on the podcast as resource material, too. So very, very good resources.
Do I need to charge you something for copyright infringement or something like that?
Probably. You can have your lawyer call my lawyer, but in the end, we'll probably both be broke, which brings me to another topic that I wanted to ask you about. Now, in those original talks you gave, you had the $30,000 challenge. Well, where has that gone? Has anybody collected on that?
No one has. At one woman once called me and said, I want to take you up on your challenge. I said, okay. And she gave me a couple of verses in the Bible. I said, no, it says faith. Doesn't say faith alone. And it says believing. Doesn't say believing alone. I said, Catholics believe you have to have faith in order to be saved. We believe you have to believe in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. But it doesn't say alone. That is not there. And she said, well, if you're going to be specific, I said, well, the words are in quotes, that generally means that's the word. I said, but tell you what, I said, I'll give it to you. I'll give you that. I said, okay, let's say that there is. I said, now there's a second part of this challenge. She said, oh, what's that? I said, well, if I can show you one place in the Bible that says we're not saved by faith alone, will you give me $30,000 and so forth? And I said, no, you won't, will you? Well, James 2:24 says, so we're justified by works and not by faith alone. I said, the Bible doesn't say what you believe, but it actually says what I believe, which is the exact opposite of what you believe. So if you're going to call and challenge me on this, you better get your Bible straight.
That's right. Now, what's it up to now? 100,000? A million?
Well, I probably have about $80,000 in my in equity in my house. So, just from inflation and all that kind of, it's probably up to 100,000 now or so. But I actually haven't really mentioned it much in the last couple of years because I never got any response. Even I would mention it almost every week
right.
on my radio programs on Protestant radio. When I was on evangelical radio, I mentioned it all the time. And even when I was on evangelical radio, I had no takers. None. Zero. Zip. Nada.
Not good. I'd try it too, but I think I can muster about $50 right now.
Well,
I don't think that entices anybody.
Well, I'd say, hey, you know, I'll give you $50,000. I'll go down to the bank and take out a loan, you know, because it's never going to happen. They'll
That's
never
right.
find a phrase that says we are saved by faith alone, quote, unquote, faith alone. Then the second half, and even if they made one up, even if they had one of Martin Luther's original German translations, which says that
right.
because he inserted
right.
the word, even if they had that, you still have the second half of the challenge where you say, well, now if I can find a place that says not by faith alone, you'll owe me $30,000 or $50,000 or whatever. So at the very least, you can cancel out the what each other owes. But again, that's only in the instance they had Martin Luther's original German translation.
Right. Well, John, I really appreciate the time that you've taken for me today and for the listeners of the Catholic Hack, and I really want to just encourage you to continue on. You've done a fantastic job, and God has obviously used you in a mighty way for His glory. So praise be to God.
Well, thanks, Joe. It's been my pleasure, and hopefully all the listeners of your podcast will make use of the resources at the Bible Christian Society, and we'll just, like I said, just on and on, just keep evangelizing, keep the faith, keep up the good fight.
Amen. Thank you very much, John.
All right, God bless, Joe. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This school, when I sit, even just a little bit, I get hit with the power that made the veil in the temple split. When I submit, fall on the floor and adore. Can't get enough, got to come back for some more.
Hey, we've got a problem here.
Sinner, every human hypocrite can benefit in this school. Repent and commit.
Roger that.
As the incense rises up in adoration of the throne, something happens to my wounded heart from all the love revealed and shown. Bright light, Shekinah comes to my hands and persists. The change and sustain the way I think it exists. To feel the bliss because my name is in the book of life's list. That's what happens when you sit in the school of the Eucharist.
Mr. Hammond, take her down. Make your depth 150 feet, 10 degree down bubble.
150 feet, 10 degree down bubble. Aye, sir.
Dive. All right, well, let's get started. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In paragraph 2688 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it says, "The memorization of basic prayers offers an essential support to the life of prayer, but it is important to help learners savor their meaning." And I think this is a great point that we should keep in mind, because as we're going to read this one verse in St. Matthew's Gospel about vain repetition, we should keep that in mind. What is the point? What is the context that Jesus is mentioning here? And think about this part in the Catechism here, this one little line about savoring the meaning. You know, that how the memorization of basic prayers is a tool to help, not a tool to hinder. So with that, let's turn to St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. "And in praying, do not heap up empty phrases, as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." Now, some translations will say vain repetition. Mine, which is the St. Ignatius Bible, the Revised Standard Version Catholic Edition, it actually says empty phrases, which is, I think, a great, it's even better of a translation, because what is the context? What's really going on here? You know, if we start off chapter 6, it says, "Beware of practicing your piety before men in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Be careful, Jesus says, if you're practicing your piety so that others can see you. That's where we tee it up, okay? If you play golf, then when you tee your ball, you're getting ready to make your shot. That's the context, okay? That's what starts us off here, is It's not that piety is a bad thing. Piety is a good thing. But piety out of context is a bad thing. And vain piety, so that other people can see, oh, look at how holy he is. You know, if I sat there in church and said, oh, I hope everybody sees me praying. I hope everybody sees me, you know, acting so reverent and acting so holy. Well, that is wrong. Well, how do we know the difference? Well, quite clearly. God is the judger of hearts. So no matter what any other person in sitting next to us at church on Sunday might think, if they think to themselves, this guy is so holy, well, it doesn't matter what he thinks. What matters is what God knows. And God knows what's in your heart. And he knows what you're doing. So if your piety is vain, then he knows it already. And so you have to be honest with yourself, and you have to know the deal. But should we interpret other people's piety as always being vain? No. Why? Because we're not the judger of hearts. Because that's not our job. You know, by their fruits we will know, you know, what's in their heart, for sure, okay? You can tell people who are vain and who are not, but it's not our job to judge. We've not been given that task, okay? So that's really starting off in chapter 6, verse 1. That's what gets us going. It goes on, thus, when you give alms, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what the right hand is doing, so that your alms may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. That goes back to God is the judger of hearts. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, that's verse 5, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, that they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now that's, again, God knows the hearts of men. He is the judge, okay, not us. So he can tell if our piety is in vain or not. So piety is not a bad thing. Piety is a good thing. And so if that's the case, if we can use that standard for piety, then in the next verse, can we not use that same standard for repetition and prayer? Verse 7, and in praying, do not heap up empty phrases, as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So, is vain repetition, are phrases, in this case, if I use my translation, are phrases to God bad? No. If they're given in the right context, they're good. It's a good thing for me to pray to my Father and say, I love you. Or, how about, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my personal Lord and Savior, this day and every day. Or, how about, Jesus, forgive me. Are these not verses, are these not phrases that we would pray constantly? I know I do. Are they bad phrases? No, they're good phrases. So, it's not the phrase that's the bad part. It's the empty part. You know, it's the empty. That's the key word there. Empty phrases. That's bad. If I'm just tossing up words, oh God, look how holy I am. Look at me. Look how great I am. I hope everybody's like, you can see me almost, you know, with my eyes closed and like peeking out with one eye just to see if everybody's watching. Oh, look how holy I am. You know what I mean? That's the part. And who knows if that's going on? Well, God in heaven knows. And we are not the judge of other people. So it would be wrong to say that just because someone prays repeatedly the same words, that they are automatically going against the Bible. Because that's not what it said here. Clearly, the context here is in vanity. Vanity is the issue. And how do we know for sure? Well, let's look at the very next verse. Verse 9. Jesus says, pray then like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So you can see, we pray the Our Father all the time. And I got to tell you, the Our Father, I mean, there is tons of historical documents to show how the Christian community from the very first century prayed the Our Father repeatedly. Now these, I'm talking the very first century. I mean, in there's an excellent tract on the Pope John Paul II Society of Evangelization. I want to say it's pamphlet 168, but I'm going to put a link in the show notes. And it says, it even references the Didache. Now the Didache is a first century document. It actually means the teaching of the 12 apostles. And it says, do not pray like the hypocrites, but rather as the Lord commanded in his Gospels, like this. And they're actually quoting from St. Matthew's Gospel here. At the end of quoting the Our Father, it says, this is in the first century document, pray this three times each day. First century document, pray this three times each day. Now, this is the teaching of the 12 apostles. This is a historical document, the Didache. I'll put a reference to the entire Didache as a link on the show notes, and you can read it for yourself. It's a fantastic document. You can read it very quickly, very easily. But this is very hard to say, oh, well, you know, the apostles clearly just got it wrong. And we can see that that's not the case. So we see repetition is not a bad thing. It's vain repetition. That's the bad thing. And, you know, there are other examples that we should turn to, that we should check out. For example, we see Jesus himself praying the same words repeatedly. In St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, starting in verse 44, we see Jesus saying, now this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now this is after the institution of the Eucharist. Jesus takes his 12 apostles out to a garden, okay? And he takes Peter, James, and John a little further, and then he asks them to keep watch. He said, keep watch while I go over and pray. And he prays, and he's begging God to let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but thy will be done. And he comes back to the three apostles, Peter, James, and John. What do? They fell asleep. You know, and he wakes them up, and he's like, what are you doing? And then he goes back to praying. But in verse 44, he says, so leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Jesus himself is praying in a repetitious manner. This is a clear example of that. Is Jesus contradicting himself from Matthew chapter 6, verse 7? No, of course not. Jesus would not contradict himself. So if he's not contradicting himself, then what must that mean? How should we interpret Matthew 6, 7? We should interpret, just like I said before, it's not repetition that's the problem, it's vain repetition. And who is the judge of that? Well, God in heaven. Just because someone prays the same words repeatedly doesn't make them a bad person or anti-biblical. And I think that's a clear example of that, but there are others. I mean, for example, we can turn to Revelations 4:8. And in Revelations 4:8, we can see a clear example. Now, in this passage, okay, we're in heaven. We are standing before the very throne and altar of God. St. John has this beautiful vision, you know, on the Lord's day. He's caught up. You know, he's not able to have mass, you know, because he's been exiled on the island of Patmos. And he's separated from his flock, and he can't even say mass. So God himself, you know, raptures him, basically, into heaven. And there, he gets to witness the heavenly mass. And for this, you really want to read The Lamb's Supper by Dr. Scott Hahn. Oh, it's a fantastic book. You'll really enjoy it. And with that, you can take, there's a 13-part audio series you can get for free from EWTN's audio library that of Dr. Scott Hahn and Mike Aquilina going through the entire book. So, highly recommend that. But so we're in heaven right now, okay? Revelations chapter 4. We're in heaven, and we're standing before the very throne and altar of God, the creator of all the universe. And what do we see here in verse 8? It says, and I'll actually back up a little bit, start up in verse 6. And round the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." They never cease to sing, it says. Revelations 4:8. Now this is before the very throne of God. Don't you think for one instant that if all repetition was vain, then wouldn't God put an end to it right there in front of his own throne? Wouldn't he just squash that right away? But he doesn't. Why not? Because repetition isn't the problem. It's vanity that's the problem. So, if it's okay for Jesus to pray the same words, and it's okay for the four living creatures to pray the same words, well, isn't it okay if we can pray the same words? Like the Our Father, according to the Didache, we should pray it three times every single day. And that's the teaching of the 12 apostles. 1 Kings 18, chapter 18, verse 25 and 29, we see an example of vain repetition. You know, and let's turn there real quick and let's read that. So let me get to that. 1 Kings 18, starting in verse 25. This is a pretty cool little story, but it's an actual event where, you know, Elijah put these prophets of Baal to the test. In verse 25 it says, "Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, 'Choose for yourself one bull and prepare it first, for you are many. And call on the name of your God, but put no fire to it.' And they took the bull, which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, 'O Baal, answer us.'" So, repetition. We see repetition here. "But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped about the altar which they had made. And at noon Elijah mocked them, saying, 'Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is a musing, or has gone aside, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened.'" See, he was poking them here. He was really chastising them. That's kind of funny, actually. So, what was that? Verse 28. "And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one heeded." They had this repetition, but theirs was in vain because they prayed to a false god. And that's really the key here. We can also see another example back in the New Testament. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. What about Luke 18:13? In Luke 18:13, what do we see? This image, okay, of a tax collector. Now, tax collectors were, you know, lower than, you know, than whales on the food chain. You know, nobody liked the tax collectors because everybody felt that they were ripping everybody off. You know, so they felt that they were thieves and dishonest and the traitors because they collected money for the Romans. And so nobody liked the tax collector. Yet in Luke 18:13, we see this image of a collector that kept beating his breast and praying, you know, for mercy. He repeated himself over and over again. You know, he's beating his breast and asking God for mercy. And that's in Luke 18. And that's a beautiful image. You know, that's an image of repetition. And who's teaching this? Jesus himself. So, is repetition bad? No. Repetition is good. It's vanity that's the problem. It's the context in which we mean repetition. You know, that repetitive phrase that we're offering up to the Lord God. Are we like the four living creatures that we are holy, holy, holy? Are we praying to the Lord God? Are we praising Him? Are we offering ourselves up to Him daily and repetitively? Or are we like those prophets in 1 Kings of Baal? In vain do we speak. And the false god is on a journey, according to Elijah. He's gone and took a nap, and he's not answering them, you know? So when we pray, you know, when we pray things like the Rosary or the Our Father or any one of our written prayers, we're not being vain. You know, it's possible to be vain. Well, sure. I mean, it's possible. Of course, you can be vain and say, I could pray out loud, Jesus, become my personal Lord and Savior. And it could become a vain thing for me to do it if all I want is for people to see how great I am and look at me giving my life over to Christ every day. That doesn't do anybody any good. And God knows the deal. He knows the difference. There is no tricking God. So it's just like in paragraph 2688 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's not that memorizing prayer is a bad thing. It's that some, not everybody is as eloquent as other people. So when we get a great prayer that's written down for us, it's okay to repeat that prayer. Because it's the context that we're praying. And if we're really feeling that in our hearts, then that's an all right thing, man. So I hope you can see. Vain repetition? That's bad. Repetition all by itself? Not so bad. All right, well, that was short and quick and to the point. I hope you enjoyed that. Especially since I really messed up the John Martinoni interview. I'm so sorry about that. I hope to have that fixed and make that up to you in December when I get to re-record that. Until then, I really pray that you have a beautiful Thanksgiving holiday. And I'll offer up special intentions for you and for your families. I want to ask you to pray, you know, for Rosemary Treese, a little baby with a trisomy 18 who's still living, still clinging on to life. For the glory of God, she's still clinging on to life. Pray also for Father Francis, EWTN, and Greg Willits running his marathon. All right, until next time, may God richly bless you.
The Catholic Hack, the best in parking lot podcasting.